All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We're on conference call number 7 tonight, which is buyer consultation. And this is a great session. It's very easy to follow along. If you want to be on your computer, you can go to the resource guide, bestchoicerealtywa.com, and go to forms and folders. And I'm going to be going over a lot of the PDFs that you see in the buyer consultation packet, and how best you use the buyer consultation packet in practical application when you're out in the field. So if you could go to bestchoicerealtywa.com and then click on forms and folders in the startup section, and then go to the buyer, kind of scroll down, and there's several PDFs that are listed there that we're going to go through tonight. So the first thing I want to talk about is, why do we want to do a buyer consultation? A buyer consultation with the buyer and really strong, really start to strengthen the relationship that you have with the buyer. The buyer consultation was introduced around the year 2007 and 8, when more clients were using the websites to start searching for homes, and what we were finding was that clients were becoming less connected with their agent. And so we had to introduce a way to communicate your value proposition to the buyers. So one way we did that was we looked at creating a consultation, some sort of educational piece that would help the buyer understand what you do to earn your commission. And one example I'll share with you tonight was that there was an agent in one of my offices that I ran. Her name was Monica, and she had shown properties, this was back in 2008, she had shown approximately 12 different clients a property in 1 month, and she came into my office and she was extremely frustrated. She was frustrated because the clients were taking her on tour. They were, in essence, finding her information online. She was making the appointment. She was scheduling the homes to tour. But out of all the 12 appointments that she had been on with these clients, not one had written a contract. Not one had signed a buyer agency agreement with her. And so it became extremely frustrating, so much so that she wanted to leave the business. So what we decided to do is we sat her down in the office, and this was before we had a buyer consultation packet, and we, in essence, bullet pointed out the important points of what differentiated her from the other real estate brokers that they were calling. And what we discovered was that why we should do a consultation is to build trust, to build loyalty, educate, set expectations with the buyer, and obviously create more win-win opportunities so that that Monica would have more sales. In essence, we were able to accomplish that. It took us approximately 3 months to change her business practices, but just some simple tactics and some more education, and obviously a lot of observation and creation, we were able to take that 12 different appointments that she was going on with different clients, and she was able to have approximately 4 to 5 sales a month. And that took a lot of work on our part to help her get to that point. So what we're going to talk about tonight is really how you could create that buyer consultation for yourself. Number one, you're going to want to do a consultation. A lot of people ask me, where do you do one, Rochelle? Do you still do a buyer consultation? The answer to the question is yes, I still do buyer consultations and do it very effectively. I've even had some of our agents observe me as I've conducted a buyer consultation so they could see how to put it into practice. But where to do it is really a simple tactic of what makes the most sense for that particular buyer. Obviously, an office setting would be ideal, but that's not as practical when you're out in the field. So some of the best places we saw or observe buyer consultations taking place was at the first property that you're showing, at the last property that you're showing, at a Starbucks nearby to locations that you'll be looking at, or at a title or escrow company where you reserve a conference room for an hour in your neighborhood or area or a place where you can do business, or the office. So those are the places that are the top places where people do consultations. I've even done a consultation in the lobby of a hotel room. You know, a client flies in from out of town. I want to kind of assess their situation, set expectations, build more loyalty and trust before we get in the car and go look at properties. So I'll sit and have a 15 to 30 minute conversation in the hotel lobby before I'll take a client in my car or have them follow me to the properties we're going to go look at. It's extremely important to set that consultation up ahead of time. Give yourself a little bit of breathing room. Don't just jump in the car and show properties, or you're going to get in a situation like Monica where you're going to show a lot of people homes and not write a lot of offers. So the other thing that we considered when we were building out Monica's buyer consultation is we wanted to identify why she does real estate. What sets her apart? What differentiates herself? And if you haven't taken the opportunity in the last year to really sit down and identify, you know, a good paragraph about yourself, a bio, but more importantly, a value proposition on why you do what you do, what makes you tick, why they should use you instead of another agent they find online. You need to memorize that value proposition. You need to be very comfortable in talking about why you do real estate and why is that important to the client. Because that's one of the introduction pages that we recommend you using, is why you do real estate. So we have the value proposition, services, memberships. You could talk about the marketplace. You could insert some pages about the marketplace. A lot of you have taken my class on how to look at the zip codes and run some reports on the MLS. You may want to insert some of those things into your buyer presentation at this point in time. But why you do real estate, that page, you may follow it up with a couple pages from the MLS discussing the marketplace or the area where you're going to be looking at properties. But all in all, it's really focused on what are you going to do differently that the other brokers aren't doing. The next section that we discussed, we outlined for Monica, was the property types. What to consider. There were, in 2008, there was many property types, and it was overwhelming. Now there's not as many property types, so you may have to be able, you may actually be able to skin, you know, slim the presentation down so there's not as many pages. But back in the era of 2008, there were property types like owner-occupied, new construction, investment, short sales, foreclosures, HUD homes, investment properties. So many different property types that it was overwhelming for the client to choose what property type would make them the most money or the best investment. So we had to really nail down the pros and cons of looking at these different property types. So we were able to slim down her appointments, so she may not have had to go out on 12 different appointments with different clients. We actually were able to scale that down by doing proper education and really systematizing what properties she was showing when, because each property type has its pros and cons. And if you were able to eliminate some of these property types, oftentimes the agents were able to get something under contract sooner rather than taking several appointments to make that happen. So look at the property types. We have a page on each, pros and cons on each. New construction, important if you're going to be showing new construction that you explain to the buyer the registration policy that new homes have, and make sure that the new construction is taking, you know, that they understand they have to be with you or use your business card, and that if they don't, then they're in essence being represented by the builder's agent. Okay? So the other part on new construction is that we actually have there's some resource guide links on our website that has all of the new construction builders, all of the links to all their websites right there on the resource guide. So some of you maybe are like, what are all the new construction sites in our area? Maybe I haven't considered Toll Brothers or Main View Homes. There's a lot of builders that are out there that your clients may be driving by, but they don't know that you know all these builders, and you can sell in all those communities. Unlike other builder agents, they can only sell, most of the time, can only sell at the site they sit. So that's a limitation, and they need to understand that they wouldn't want to be represented by a buyer's agent that works for the builder. They'd want somebody like you who understands the marketplace and can relay a lot of the information, the concerns that they have at the time. Okay? The other piece for property types would be investments, short sales. Definitely lots of pros and cons to consider with short sales. You know, sometimes by just setting the short sale sheet, what we've often been able to do is talk clients out of even going forward with a short sale, or preparing your client for the long haul, meaning they'll have a long time to wait in order to move forward with a short sale. On average, short sales take, the fastest short sale I've ever done has been 2 months. But most likely the average time for a short sale to go to from beginning to close is around 4 months. So that sheet really explains the short sale process and what to keep in mind when considering a short sale. Foreclosures, you know, it shows them that they may get a good deal, but you're up against multiple offers. There's different types of foreclosures out there as well. And HUD foreclosures, although they're foreclosure, they have their own set of contracts and things to keep in mind, and it becomes very expensive if you don't know what you're doing. Okay? So property types is an important point, but it's not the main reason why we do a buyer consultation. Some of the most favorite pages, the most used pages on our website or resource guide have to do with the step-by-step and the buyer's cost. Buyers tend to really like those pages because it really outlines for them the process and sets the correct expectations of what to consider. So when I'm sitting down with a buyer and they're a first-time buyer and they're wondering, how am I going to be able to really understand, you know, how much money I need to set aside for the purchase, they're going to want to make sure that they read our buyer's cost page. Our buyer's cost page will tell them what to consider for down payment, earnest money, inspection, appraisal, closing costs, and commissions. And there's a section where I focus on them with inspection that I outline for them roughly about how much an inspection would expense, that they have to have that money set aside. But when you're in a multiple offer situation in King County, we're having on average about 3 inspectors, pre-inspections that are done before a buyer will win a bid. So you might want to set aside not only $350 per inspection, you're going to want to set aside more like $500 or to $1,000 worth. So some things to think about when it comes to buyer's cost. Okay, hang on just a minute. All right, so the next thing to consider would be the step-by-step, the timeline. So with the timeline, you can really, that's one thing, if that was the only thing I brought on my buyer consultation, would be the timeline. The timeline outlines for a buyer what to consider from beginning to end. And when I was doing buyer consultations, before I taught Monica how to do it, I would just simply print out some sort of timeline and let the buyer know that I would be with them through the entire process from beginning to end. And that anytime they had a question, they had somebody that was experienced and local to be able to help them navigate or negotiate the things on the timeline. So it made the buyer feel at ease that they had a professional working on their behalf. So then the last one that I wanted to go over tonight was the loyalty page. And the loyalty page is a page that we had all the pages worked out for Monica and everything was going really well. But we still were having some difficulty getting the buyers to sign a buyer agency agreement. And so what we decided to do is we needed to have some sort of segmentation to get them to agree to sign a buyer 41A in essence. So if you're looking at 41A today, you may want to print that out and look at the 41A and make those adjustments to your business model so you can try to attract the buyers and really solidify that relationship in writing. So in essence, we were able to take her 12 different appointments and turn it into 4 buyer agency agreements in just a very short time, just by including the loyalty page. So what we did with the loyalty page is we actually had Monica memorize it. We had basically why they should use you. And we bullet pointed out the different ideas of the loyalty. So you want to memorize that and then practice it with somebody else so that you can get them to transition right into a signing an agreement with you. And that would be a 41A. In essence, the 41A must be filled out completely. It has to have the areas filled in. And on the commission section, you do need to write, go ahead and just write in 3%. And what that means is if they decide to go a different direction or use somebody else or do it for sale by owner without your help or support, they in essence would have to owe Best Choice Realty a commission. And that's the way it's done. Typically, the seller or the listing firm has already agreed to pay your commission, but in essence, if that is not paid for by the listing firm, the buyer would have to pay for it. And so that agreement really ties down the relationship and makes it guarantees really your commission for doing all the work that you're going to do with this particular buyer. So if you have questions about the 41A and you want to discuss it offline, we do have a few that we've challenged and we've won because we've filled out the 41A correctly, and there was indeed a lot of work done on a buyer's behalf. And there have been a couple times where we haven't won because either there wasn't commission owed, or there was some confusion in how the buyer consultation was done and who was representing who. So be very careful at how you fill that 41A out. And if it's your first time or your first time pitching the loyalty page or getting the buyer to sign a buyer agency agreement, you can certainly call me and I'll be happy to help you and support you along that way. A lot of people have asked me at this point in the conference call, is it required to have a buyer agency agreement signed by the buyer? The answer is no. In Washington State, many buyer's agents operate with just kind of a handshake, that it's okay. But just realize that unless you're doing a good job at building loyalty and trust, that buyer is not tied to you unless, for some reason, there's a contract written where you represent that buyer and there's commission owed based on a listing agreement. And commission in a cooperating kind of situation is outlined in a purchase and sale agreement. If you don't have a buyer agency agreement, or you're working, selling off-market properties or doing commercial properties or things of that nature that are really different than just the standard Northwest MLS listings that you see, you always should operate with a buyer agency agreement, 41A. Okay? So with that, I think I've wrapped up all of the pages we need to talk about tonight. I got done a little bit sooner than normal. But I want you to spend some time going through the pages that you see on the resource guide and maybe customizing some of these to yourself, maybe print out. We actually have some already printed and bound in our office that you're welcome to come in and get. They are quite affordable. We print them in color. They're very nicely done. So if you're not wanting to spend the time and actually assemble your own package, what I would do is recommend just come into the office and ask Carly or Danita or Shannon for a copy of the buyer consultation printed and bound, and they can have it all ready to go for you. So you have a very nice professional piece that you can give the buyer. While I'm thinking about it, you may also want to consider a buyer consultation intake sheet. As I had mentioned earlier in the call, we were able in a very short time to be able to take 12 appointments and turn them into 4 offers really quickly just by introducing a buyer consultation into her business plan. What we were able to do, though, to get those numbers even higher was to be more, to customize and to build a more of an intake sheet. So what we did is we created an intake sheet, much like a doctor's office would have, so that when Monica was meeting with the client, she wouldn't just give them the information and say, here's a packet I created for you. We made it kind of like a ticket system where they would answer a few more questions face-to-face on this intake form, and once she gathered the information that she needed on the intake form, on my resource guide I talk about the client profile sheet, and that's what that client profile sheet is all about, is a really quick form that you can print out and have available, and it's internal where you can keep it for the client and ask certain questions on that intake sheet. And I did make it one modifiable and one not, so you could easily print it and attach it to your file. And then that way you have some more information. It really shows the client that you're listening to them. And that's what we were able to do to get Monica an even better result, was to provide more of a ticket system or a way for her to connect with the client, get the missing pieces to the equation, and then even establish more rapport by using that intake sheet. That might be helpful if you're still struggling, you're giving them stuff. I mean, you might be giving them too much, and you may need to start to gather some more information about the client before you take them on more property tours. All right, so that's all I have for tonight. You guys have a wonderful week. Looking forward to seeing some more offers coming in this week. We've had a great weekend. This weekend's expected to be an awesome weekend as well. Some areas have slowed down, but that's creating more opportunity for buyers, and there's less offers, less multiple offers out there. I had a situation in the Kitsap Peninsula where I was expecting to be, you know, have three other offers, and there was none that needs to be reviewed. So there might be some opportunity for buyers that have been sitting on the fence to go out there and engage with more sellers and find a property that makes sense to them. Again, if you have any questions, call me at 206-947-0811. And like always, if you have questions, you can email me at Rochelle@bestchoicerealtywa.com, and I can respond that way, or a simple text message works as well. Have a great week, and talk to you soon.